Good evening. I'd like to call the meeting to order, please. I'd like to have everyone stand and salute to the flag, please. Pledge allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to start the meeting off with, first of all, with the public comment. Anyone?
Maybe we could recognize Mr. Gilchrist first.
Yes, sir.
As I email the board, Mr. Gilchrist is here on behalf of Margaret to talk about the road dedication or the road issue.
The road issue, correct. Thank you. Thank you. As your attorney said, Andrew Gilchrist representing Margaret Van Dusen and Daniel French. And we did submit a letter back, I believe it was early December, concerning the road issue. And we've been looking into this, and it appeared to us that maybe there was a misunderstanding or some confusion about the issue with the road, and because there appeared to be a lot of discussion about dedication of the road. And I just wanted to make our position clear to the board so that maybe there could be some further discussion and consideration of this, and that there doesn't need, according to the way we view this, doesn't need to be a formal dedication of this section of Muir Street. That even though it's on private property, and it's conceivably on private property, many public roads exist on private property. These are generally under the highway law called highways by use. As the name suggests, if it has been used as a public road, regardless of who owns it, it takes the nature of a public road. In the village law, these are roads by prescription, really the same thing. So long as you can show that the public has maintained and used this stretch of road, we have looked at this, and it does appear that the village has been maintaining, and that's included plowing, sanding, salting on occasion, maintenance of the road in addition to the plowing, sanding, salting. And there also has never been any gate or signage that it was a private road, that the mailboxes are not down, I'll call it, further up on Muir Street. They are rather are up toward the private driveways where the mail is delivered. We'd like the board to consider those facts and simply to maintain its maintenance of the road, because regardless of who owns it, that there's not been a formal dedication of this stretch of the road, it is still constituting a public road. Our concern is that it's not being maintained by the public now, and that raises some issues for the village, let alone my client. So I thought I'd come in tonight and just restate our position for you. I have had the opportunity to talk to your counsel about that. It's something different than formal dedication. Maybe that's something that we could still explore, but there's no need for a formal dedication, that the road did and remains a public road, but merely by use. And so we'd like to have the board consider that, if you would, and have some further discussions with your counsel, as I'd like to as well. We know, or at least I understand, I've not seen it yet, but I understand there was a resolution adopted at your November meeting concerning that. I don't know what the exact language of that was yet. I will tell you my concern is that if we do need to address that, to challenge that, there's a time frame in which to do that. We still have some time left, and I'd like to resolve this with the board and with your counsel.
And here's what we did. What happened was I think I talked to you about the history of this, okay?
Certainly.
What we went along, we were talking about, there's two, originally this issue came up, I think there were five disputed streets that we looked at that were being maintained by the village, but we had no record of formal dedication.
Correct.
Acceptance, ownership. I think eventually, after we had a lot of people and people talked about it, three of those issues were eliminated, and we focused on Muir Street and Alter Alley. So
Correct.
There was a resolution endorsing and accepting an offer and a conveyance from the folks who live along Alter Avenue, but
yep.
There was no resolution adopting this. In other words, the resolution didn't pass. There was a resolution that did not pass.
Well, correct.
That's what happened. So that's just sort of where it is, just procedurally.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I might ask you to do, because I'm not sure the other village board members have seen this map. This is a survey that I think Margaret had done, and maybe you can just explain to the village sort of where, if you know, where the you know, what you're talking about here, where...
That was presented.
Was it?
Yeah. Okay, that was presented. I think we're aware. I mean, there's Greenman Terrace. And admittedly, there's a point down here where the width of the paved surface does narrow. There's no question about that. But historically, the village had continued to plow all the way up to the three driveways. It's my understanding that, and it's not unusual for public highway departments to do it, they would plow off onto a lawn area, back up into another driveway, and take the other pass going out. And that's historically how it was done up until this year. That constitutes the public maintenance of that, which is one of the elements for a highway, again, by use, not dedication, but by use. Roads can become public roads two ways. Dedicated, so the town owns it, or the village owns it in fee, gets recorded, and you own it. And usually it's a full right-of-way, and the road, the travel way, is part of that. Or a public road can be by use. It's not, and this is the tricky part in this one, and this is what, quite frankly, I'm being very upfront, I'm trying to avoid, is there's not going to be any document here in the village that will identify this as a public road. Unlike a deeded road, there's no deed. There's no order from a highway department laying out or accepting the road. It's simply by use. It takes on the nature and a legal public road. So there won't be anything here that your attorney, your clerk, or anyone could find saying, this is a public road. If it's disputed, the only way to get this resolved is unfortunately through a court order where the facts are presented to the court and the court will pass on the law. Does it meet the elements for a public road, a highway by use, or under the village law, a highway by prescription? I think it would make sense if we could take a further look at this factually and have a little bit further work with your counsel. Again, I'm still concerned about that 4 months from the November date. I want to be very careful on
but
that.
I think there was no action on the November date.
Subject to check. If
you're looking at Article 78, I don't think that's...
If there was a resolution offered and voted on and it was not approved, then I'm very conservative on those things. I'm happy to talk to you about that.
That is the case.
Yeah, I'm looking toward mid-March as a deadline for me. I'd like to have further discussion with you and investigate this. I think your highway department should weigh on this as well. What have they done and when? That's a very important factor on these cases. Clearly, my clients have some information on this as well. And even looking at that, is there any signage? Is there any gate? Where are the mailboxes? Where does the post office go? Things like that are all very relevant. And I'm trying to resolve this with the board, and if we're not able to do that, then we do have to have probably a court address that. It's important to my clients, and it's very important for the village, because if this, in fact, is a public road, which we think it is, the village not maintaining it can give rise to some potential problems for the village if anyone is injured on that, if there's not maintenance of that. So thank you for the opportunity to present that position to the board. I will coordinate directly with your counsel if the board is willing to entertain further discussion on that, and we'll work toward that mid-March date. If you have any questions, I'm here to answer them, as is my client, but otherwise I'll coordinate with your counsel.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any comments?
Oh, for me?
No? Okay.
All right, thank you. Go to the executive session. Yeah, okay. We have to talk about that.
Any other public comments? Okay. Moving on. Approve the minutes of the previous meetings. Would be November 2014, the board meeting.
Actually, we're going to table those for clarification.
Okay. Approve the treasury report, November of 2014.
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Approve the treasurer's report for December of 2014.
Motion to approve.
We just got it. Yeah, we just got it.
Okay. We'll have to wait on that.
Okay.
We'll table that, Miss.
Okay.
We have some correspondence. Which is... No? No correspondence? Okay. Reports, the highway...
I'm sorry. the letters from?
They were on the resolution card, but you could read them now.
Okay. Well, that's fine. Well, that's good. A little resolution.
The reports, the highway department.
So for November, highway department, might as well do all of it since Randy's not here, right? Christmas tree pickup, ordered some salt, 24 tons of salt. That was in January. This is January's. Pond ice is safe. The lights are on. People are on the pond, I noticed, on the way in. So all is good. Took care of the fire extinguishers. Cleared the snow off the roads and sidewalks. Fixed the dump truck. Brakes had froze up on them. Turned the water on, in the water department. They turned the water on 18 Tremont. Did the fire hydrant by the pond that was out of service. Chart recorder in the shed, back in service. Started the 2015 water sampling, cleaned the chlorinator and the injector for the chlorinator. In December, got the inspection for the Dodge International, and the Dodge got oil changes, so the maintenance is up to date. Let's see, cleaned out catch basins on Malden Street, cleaned up after the bonfire in the Commons, plowed and sander are working good, filling in potholes on Malden Street. On the water department, we're running on pump 2, turned the water off at 16 Chatham, cleaned the chlorinator solution tank on tank 2, or pump 2, ran special water samples and marking the lines for UFPOs.
Okay. Police Department?
Officer Jones filed the written reports both in November and December. I'll go through all of them. November, there are 36 incidents investigated, 12 arrests, 92 tickets issued. Arrests of note in November, we had 3 DWIs, including a felony DWI, which means it's the second one within a certain period of time. There was also, in the details there, a stalking incident in the village. In December, we had 25 incidents investigated, 12 arrests, and 127 traffic tickets. And interestingly, in December, the arrests were dominated by license suspension incidents. There was almost a dozen of them just in that one month. In December, the officers completed their annual TASER recertification training. We had an incident in November where one of the officers was dispatched to a house on Chatham Street where there was a fire. Apparently he was able to extinguish the fire before it spread to the rest of the house. So, you know, that's one of the services we provide or that they can be involved in. And, you know, that action prevented a potentially catastrophic fire in the village. And we've had enough of those. There was another incident that happened in November, which this is another kind of good news story. We had there was an iPhone stolen from one of the local villagers' restaurants. It was unattended. There, through quick investigation and identification of the person who had the iPhone, they were able to get the iPhone back, return it to the owner, and execute an arrest in Albany for the perpetrator. So that was a good thing. Now, as some of the board members and hopefully the public is already aware of, but I'll remind them again at this meeting, there's been another round of vehicle larcenies in the village over the holidays. Once again, the vehicles that were targeted were unlocked, and there's an ongoing joint investigation, both the village police department as well as the state police department. And there's been public notices made around the village, again, encouraging folks to keep their vehicles and residences locked. And, you know, we've had some back and forth discussion. You know, this is the second round of these. We had one earlier in the year over on Elm Street and Lake Ave. And so I'm going to suggest that we consider increasing the hours of service for the police department to kind of discourage this behavior. You know, in the past, we brought the hours down a little bit to try to save some money. And I think that while we have tried to change up the shift so that the police appear to be here more than they actually are, I think, you know, they're figuring it out now. So we need to re-strategize a little bit. And one of the ways to do that would be to increase the hours. And since budget time's coming up, I'm sure that's going to come up next week. The vehicle condition, the Tahoe has 87,700 miles on it. The Crown Vic has 25,700 miles on it. In December, the Tahoe was down for several days with a bad transmission. It's been repaired and remanufactured with a remanufactured transmission. The work has a 3-year, 100,000 mile warranty on it. And you know, I mentioned at the last meeting in November that there's another issue with the Tahoe. Its back end is starting to go. This may be, given that we have now a new transmission with the warranty, this may be a good time to think about selling that, since it has some value value for somebody. We've been putting money aside for the past couple of years in a capital fund for a replacement vehicle. So I think, again, the board should consider that at our budget workshops. I have Tom, Officer Jones, working up some estimates on replacement vehicles. So, you know, we'll have that stuff to talk about. Not tonight, obviously, but then. Thank you.
Okay. Dave.
Well, I know that the board knows this. I don't know how public it's been, but you know that one of the things that we've been talking about over the last several years is the lawsuit brought against the village by a young woman named Hilton, who was injured in a terrible accident here on Route 20. That matter was scheduled to go to trial last month, I think December 9th or December 11th. In late November, the matter was resolved by our insurance company within the policy limits. And what this means is that the plaintiff, Ms. Hilton, accepted a settlement within the coverage limits that we have with the insurer. And it means that there'll be no liability impact to the village. And we were facing, you know, depending on how it went, I mean, who knows what. We didn't know what a jury would do, and we encouraged the insurance company to settle it within the policy limits, because if a jury did find liability, which we believe there was reason to believe they would not, I mean, we thought, you know, according to the lawyer, we had a good chance to, or at least a good possibility to emerge triumphant from the lawsuit, but the risk was just too great. So it's settled, and it's behind us now. So I'll take care.
Okay. Robert.
I have nothing to report.
Okay. Guy, do you have anything else?
Yeah, I have a couple things to follow up from a couple meetings ago. The speed indicator signs, the one on Albany Ave especially, we did receive a spare battery for it. It's been put in, it's been installed, and the sign has been back working again. The original battery was charged up here and actually was installed into the Church Street sign, and that one is back here being charged, and it's ready to deploy as needed. There is an issue with the Church Street sign. There's some water is getting into the sign. We think it's because the sign itself has a manufacturing defect. We're working with the manufacturer now, but essentially when ice builds up on the sign, when it melts, water's coming down into the sign. And so if anyone's noticed, when it dries up, it goes away. But there's a problem with the display on when it gets wet. the upper right-hand corner of the LED display gets turns off, doesn't work. The good thing is we have a 2-year warranty on the sign, and we've already been talking to the manufacturer, and they said if it continues, to send it back to them and they'll replace it. So we'd be good for that. And like I said, we're in negotiation with them over that. I also wanted to relate two other things. These are thank yous. I want to thank Charlie, Lori, and Randy for attending the wreath laying services in December. They're honoring several of the local residents who have made the ultimate sacrifice protecting our way of life, including Derek Farley, the young man whose name adorns the bridge coming into the village. We were joined by a number of local residents and municipal officials in the ceremonies. I thought were very nicely conducted, and it was good to see a lot of people out there honoring these folks. I also want to thank the board members that came out, Missy and her family, the Youth and Beautification Committees, Kurt Vincent and the Nassau Community Band, the carolers from the Nassau Free Library, the Nassau Hose Company, and anybody else for making, for making the annual tree lighting event a great success once again this year. It seemed like it was really cold then. The last couple of weeks tell us that it wasn't cold at all then. But in any case, the event was very well attended, and it seemed like everyone had a good time. I know my family had a good time seeing the carols, and it was just great to see everyone out there again. Thank you.
Okay. As far as myself, I have under a SWAMA, which is on the agenda, I've attended the last couple of meetings. It is our turn this year for the hazardous waste day. Last year we alternate with Scatacoke, so this year it's going to be Nassau. I think Missy, it is on the village calendar. I don't have it available right now. We will be getting some money back on the savings for the co-mingling, and it'll be approximately $2,600. I'm not sure when we're supposed to get that. It might be in April. The co-mingling, loose co-mingling, the price in October was $17 per ton. It has dropped now to $12 per ton. So we are, everybody's still being encouraged to follow up on the recycling. Unfortunately, that the dollar amount is going down. And then the last thing on that was the warehouse is back in operation. We've instituted where you can bring paint, whether it be oil-based or water-based paint. You can bring that to the up in Melrose. It's Monday through Friday. The only thing that you would have to do is that it would cost you $2 per gallon of paint. It doesn't necessarily have to be dried out. It doesn't, as long as it's containerized and the top is secure, you can drop it, and Matt will send it out for recycling. So, and that's effective as of this month. So if you have any old paint, excess paint, and if you feel that you want to get rid of it legally, you can drive up to Melrose, or we can make arrangements, and then we can place it on a pallet, and we can ship it up there accordingly. But it will be charged $2 a gallon. And I think that's it for SWAMA.
Charlie, one second. We had somebody request the shredder. Talk to SWAMA about the shredder.
Oh, yes. There's two other things. We're still... SWAMA is in the process of trying to get a shredder that we can utilize through all the municipalities. We're still trying to get pricing and bids on that unit. The other thing was and I lost my train of thought on, it was the shredder and I'll have to I'll think of it before the end of the meeting. But that's it for the Urswama and the waste management. Clerk.
Actually, I just want to tell everyone the calendars all went out. Everyone should have received them in the mail. If you did not, I have like 30, 40 extra copies. And all the information is on.
Thank you. Code enforcement. Kevin has supplied his timesheet during the month of December. He had several emails to the Cumberland Project. He issued a permit for the Nassau Senior Housing. There were some complaints at 11 Lake Ave. And it was a follow-up due to no heat. There were complaints again at the Griswold streets. Issued a roof permit on 29 Westbrook Drive. Various complaints at Cumberland. Plan review slash pricing at Cumberland Farms. Maple Avenue complaint. Issued a permit on 54 Westbrook Drive. Closing of permits. Violations on 9 Maple Ave. And emails to the village clerk on the gas pipeline. And that was for Kevin, which is the code enforcement officer. I talked to Paul Martell as far as the animal control officer. He said everything was quiet during the month of December, November, December, and part of this month. Village Beautification Committee, Historic Preservation.
Nothing.
Okay. Youth Committee.
Sunday, December 7th, the youth committee held its holiday party at the village fire department. We served refreshments, decorated cookies, and made holiday ornaments for the children who visited Santa. More than 50 children participated in these activities. Members of our committee met with the town youth committee last month, and they are trying to schedule the highly popular basketball night at DPS on several Friday nights. Their chairperson has acquired some child-sized snowshoes and is considering the possibility of doing an event at the Mud Pond Preserve in the town of Nassau. Also, ice skating parties will be resuming at the village pond, and I would assume that will begin this week, which we do them Fridays at 6 p.m. We provide hot chocolate and some form of a snack as well for the event.
Thank you. Zoning Board of Appeals?
No report.
Okay. Planning Board? Okay. Master Plan update. Josh?
The Master Plan Committee has finished what we call our SWOT analysis of all the subjects we'd like to cover in the Master Plan. That stands for strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So our next step is to organize those a little bit and kind of formulate our thoughts, and I think we're pretty close to finally putting pen to paper and starting writing a draft document. The committee has also put together a proposal that, and we wrote a letter, hopefully, is before you tonight, and I'd like to read that to you as well. As you are aware, the Village Master Plan Committee has concluded our public outreach and is beginning to formulate recommendations to be included in the draft master plan, which we hope to release sometime this spring. The release of the draft plan will be a significant step towards seeing positive changes we want to take place in our community, but it won't be the first step. The Cumberland Farms redevelopment project will be the first such project the Village Business District has seen in years, if not decades. The proposal was only approved after significant input from the planning board and village residents, and many overlapping hopes and concerns were expressed during the Cumberland Farms approval process and the master plan outreach effort. As such, it is the committee's opinion that the Cumberland Farms redevelopment has the potential to be a catalyst for other similar projects, but that project alone will not be enough to trigger a meaningful revitalization of the entire business corridor. In order to capitalize on the work Cumberland Farms will be doing this year, The Master Plan Committee recommends that the village make improvements to public facilities such as sidewalks, streetlights, crosswalks, and parking along the Route 20 corridor. These improvements would be consistent with recommendations the committee will be making, which include providing better parking and pedestrian access to village businesses and enhancing the community character of Nassau. If successful, the implementation of such facilities would literally connect the improvements being undertaken by Cumberland Farms to the rest of the business district. Recognizing the budget constraints that every municipality faces, the committee recommends that the village pursue one or more grants designed for these types of projects. To be clear, the pursuit of such grants would not be directly part of the master plan process, but would be a parallel effort that would provide a tangible example of and help build public support for some of the concepts we will be reinforcing in the master plan. Similarly, we feel the committee is in the best position to assist with the application of these grants because of the considerable effort we have put into researching and discussing these issues over the last year. So the committee respectfully requests authorization to pursue one or more grants this calendar year for the purposes I just listed. And we would work with the Board of Trustees throughout the process, but take the lead in terms of the time and the effort. And we also thought that, you know, something we need to do in the very short term is just figure out what kind of grants are available, what type of potential matching matches would be required for them, so that we could at least know quickly whether or not they're realistic and have those discussions maybe during the budget workshops that are coming up very quickly.
Would it be in everybody's best interest to, because I know we have budget meetings coming up, to try to get some monies allocated specifically towards grant writers, because they know how to do the language and kind of some of the buzzwords that would bring attention to whoever's going to review these grants. I mean, is that something that you know, you would like to see brought up at the budget meeting, and you know, to allocate some extra money, you know, to bring somebody on board?
It's not something we discussed, and personally, I have no experience with grant applications, but there are, I believe, members of the committee who do have that experience.
Oh, okay.
And so I think I would defer to them, and we can bring that up very shortly, see if they feel like they have the expertise enough to do the application process themselves, or at least, you know, guide us through it. And I suspect that that is the case, and that will be sufficient, but we'll get a sense of that really quickly and find out. I have no idea, actually, either what it would cost to hire a consultant for that purpose. I'm not
either.
Sure it would be worth it, but we'll look into that very shortly.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to old business, the Village Hall roof project. Robert?
Yeah, the village roof is complete with the new gutters, which are rather large, nice. So hopefully that solves the problem. We've replaced the tiles that were wet. Tony and Jay took care of that. And the insulation has been on the outside walls was repaired and installed properly, so we have good ventilation up in the attic space. So hopefully we're going to have dry walls for the rest of the season and into the future. And no overrun, so we're on budget.
Oh, good. Okay. Village IDs?
Actually, that was I followed up on that from a couple meetings ago. The town does have the ID maker, and they'll only charge us $3 each to make them. And so I just have to coordinate with them and whenever you guys want them done.
Okay. Update on Route 20 and 203 generator outlet.
The outlet was installed early December at the intersection of Route 20 and 203. And as per DOT's requirements, the village has placed a weatherproof lock on the apparatus to ensure no unauthorized tampering happens to the outlet. And the keys to unlock this reside, I believe, Missy, in the village hall somewhere. Which leads to the next sort of issue is we need to come up with some sort of policy and set of procedures for how we use that generator. The fire department has agreed to allow us to use one of their generators to plug into the traffic signal. But we do need to figure out, okay, who contacts the fire department? Who are they contacting at the fire department? How do we sort of manage that? So I think we need to...
Can you just give a general overview of what this whole generator outlet entails?
Sure. So right now it's a plug that... So there's one traffic light in the village, and it's gone out on several occasions and recently, in fact. And what it means is, since it's a major thoroughfare, we have to have people out there, whether they're fire police or the regular Nassau police, to direct traffic, which takes them away from doing the other things. Because usually when that's out, it means there's some other thing, something happening that they could be better used elsewhere. So what we've done is the state, the DOT, at no cost, installed an outlet there to plug the fire department's generator into it, so that we can run the propane generator or the gasoline generator to run that light when the power goes out. Rich had some concerns about insurance coverage for the generator while it's in service, and our agent said it's covered. If it's in, if we're using it and something happens to it, it will be covered under our insurance. That's good. But we do need to sit down with the fire department just to work out sort of the details of how it happens. So.
Now, when the power does go out and you re-energize it with the generator, does it still have that cycle, you know, a time frame between going from north, south, east, west, or does somebody have to redo it?
I suspect for the time that it's on, it probably loses that. I don't know that for sure, but I can ask DOT that question. I don't have the answer. But I suspect if it's like most things, it probably loses that memory and has to be reset. But again, while the generator is in service, assuming that's going to be a short period of time, and then. When the power is restored, it will be taken away, and then DOT can come and do whatever they have to do to get the light working to the way it's supposed to work.
So we need a policy to coordinate with the fire department to utilize their generator?
That's right. We just need to establish who's going to make the call.
We should just sit down with them and figure it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not a big deal. We're going to be on board anyway, so.
Right, but I just, at this point, we don't have, if it happened today, I don't know that anyone knows where the key is, that sort of thing.
We should make arrangements probably for the fire department to have a key. And then, they get the call, they just go and plug it in, and then we can talk about who's going to maintain the generator if it goes for a long period of time and needs to be refueled. Or stuff like that, but I think we can sit down with the chief and work that out.
Yeah.
Okay. All set, man? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Next order of business is the new business draft local law and park policies.
Is this about the curfews? I don't have a draft for you.
I don't either.
Well, we asked Dave to do it, and so next meeting. It's the winter, so.
Yeah, that's.
If we have a busy. Not an excuse, if we have a busy. Agenda, maybe we could put off, but I don't want to put it off too long.
No, we want to get it in for spring.
What is it basically?
Basically, what Guy had talked to me about was a uniform set of hours for the village, for the two village parks. And I think you talked about sunset. I've got it on the email what you wanted to do. And there's state law we can tie it into, like there's definitions in DMV about dusk, or we can, that we can make it crisp enough that people understand. Or we may want to set one time, but we can give you some different choices in a draft.
And it becomes, again, it's a mechanism to allow the police department to be able to tell people, look, you have to leave, the area because you're disturbing the neighbors here. you're not supposed to be here after a certain period of time.
And the other question is, do you want it to be penal in any sense, or do you just want to give it, in other words, I assume most of the people are going to be doing this violation are going to be underage, and you don't want to sort of start dragging parents in for 14-year-old kids. You're just looking for something that gives our local police the power to tell people to leave, and then if they refuse to leave, then it's like a trespass or something we can work with.
Right.
Well, a lot of the issues that were brought up over the past year was way after hours,
right?
Especially in this park down here, and there was some concern residents, which were beyond the hours of operation for the police department.
That's right.
So
who would be enforcing it if the police department wasn't available? Who would be?
I don't know. I know we had this discussion over the summer when some of the residents brought this up. I don't know. I think we're just going to have to sit down and talk about it and how we're going to. And it usually happens, between Saturday or Friday night and Monday morning. And again, it's after the shifts for the local police department. So, I mean, you can do whatever we have to do, but I think we need to incorporate something that might even be later, because I don't think that's the kind of situation that's going to go away. I really don't, especially here in this part.
Okay. But I think this is the first step to empowering them, the police, to be able to get them to have some, something to back them up to say this is, there's a whole local law that says you're not supposed to be here.
And we put up signs and so forth.
Yeah.
But there is a curfew, correct?
Yeah, as I recall, yeah, but I mean, it's
and
just
the curfew hurt. is like 10 o'clock at night during the weeknights and I think 11 o'clock on weekends, right? Yes.
Right.
Okay. Right. So, I mean, that could be incorporated also?
Yeah, let me take a look and see what that actually says.
Okay. Okay. Anything else on that?
No.
Okay, the 2015 consolidated funding application.
So this goes along with what Josh just talked about, and I'll just go over this quickly, that the state consolidated funding application, the last few years has been, it gets announced in May, beginning of May, and it's the due date's in sometime in the middle of June. There's about a 6-week period. What this does is consolidated funding application, it allows one application to be constructed, and it goes to a number of different potential grant funders in the state. And members of the Master Plan Committee have encouraged the board to take advantage of that this year. The one of the issues that's come up though is on many of the grants, it requires that the grantee actually put some money up. So one of the things that I've asked the group to do is do within the next couple of weeks is to get an idea of what that would entail dollar wise, so that we can be prepared to put that kind of money into the budget. It probably wouldn't be this year, but we could maybe put some of it away this year. It would probably kick in if we were successful in June 2015. The grant would probably be the year after.
God, would that be a flat fee, or would it be a percentage of the grant?
So we'd have typically, there's a percentage involved. But again, if we can think about the scale,
if you put it in an X, then you can make a grant up to Y.
Right. Yeah. So and again, Bob's on the committee, and we've talked about how that would obviously be the limitation on the grant we could apply for would be how much we could afford to match if there was a match involved. Not all of them do have matches, but. So I just want to make everybody aware that while grant money is great, there's it's not free all the time. So we need to be prepared to invest.
Is this going to be a specific grant, like Josh mentioned, like sidewalks or something like that? I mean, it's going to be for a specific cause?
From what I gathered, the successful grants are very well described and specific. They're not sort of, we just want money to make
improvements. Oh, no, no, it wasn't that.
Right.
You know, I'm sure it's got to be definitive, you know. Okay.
Well, I think we were discussing the Route 20 corridor.
Right.
And the design and the application will be around that.
Yeah.
So, you know, they'll be, when they write the grant, they'll be telling the grant people what they want to do, what they intend to do. We'll have to get estimates as to what the cost is going to be. You know, to do the project and then submit for whatever portion of that project they would cover. So we would have an idea, because in the grant application stuff, it should tell you what the match is, whether it's 5% or 10% or 25%, whatever. So whatever we could afford, and we'll propose to do that much work to maximize the grant, but still be within what the village can afford to match with.
The other two things that are very important is, usually there's a requirement for the municipality to resolve, you know, have some sort of resolution supporting the project. Obviously, I think, depend on the project, but I don't think that's going to be an issue.
Right.
The other thing that's going to be important is that some of these grants are tied to the regional economic councils that were set up by the governor. And so we, I think, are going to have some work to do to start to lobby there to say why this project is not only important for our village, but is important for their goals as well of prosperity, you know, economic development within the entire region. In our case, it's the greater capital region. So we need to be prepared to do that as well. It's not going to be just fill out a piece of paper and pray. It's going to be a fill out a piece of paper and go to work. So, you know, I think we all want these improvements. So I think we will be prepared to do that. But it's going to be work too.
Okay. Next on the new business is the Urswama board term renewal. I'm on the, as being a board member, my term is up. It has been up since the end of December, so it's a 5-year commitment. Do you want to wait until the rest of the board shows up to make a determination on a renewal?
You can't vote for yourself, can you?
No.
Okay, I think we have to wait for
Okay.
You could vote for yourself. I don't think we can count. Because it's an unsalaried position.
Yeah, right. But that's,
if you want to wait, it's a matter of politeness.
Yeah, no. Okay. Next would be the ZBA position considerations. I have two. One is to whom it may concern. I understand there is a position opening on the Zoning Board of Appeals. Please accept my name in consideration for this position. We have two, Ross Phoenix, 15 Maple Avenue, and we have Rich Elder on 1 Maple Avenue. Discussions?
Fine.
Okay. Do we need to?
Yeah, motion.
Someone like to? Huh?
Resolution.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Okay. There's a motion and seconded to place Ross Phoenix and Rich Elder for the open positions on the Zoning Board of Appeals. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Do these positions have a termination date? Because very often boards are sort of staggered.
I'm not sure on that.
Because we really, in other words, we ought to know which, usually, you know, you have, it expires every year. So, I mean, I don't know.
There is an issue that we had a resolution a couple of meetings ago that our board would be up to five. We changed the...
From 3 to 5.
From 3 to 5. So these positions didn't exist previously, but there are, I think they're 5-year terms. So we should probably think about that so that they don't both expire at the same time.
Yeah, usually, so, I mean, usually I'd have to go back and look at our local law, but usually when I'm, I don't even get it here before you leave, but usually there's a, you know, you create a board and you one person is appointed for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, whatever, so that when that person is replaced, you know, you got a sort of a turnover, you got sort of, you know, a little institutional knowledge there.
So we should see what the current members are, where they are in their terms,
yeah, maybe,
and then figure
Sue,
out
do
the
you
rest.
Know what?
I don't even know where mine.
Hmm?
I don't even know when my own expires.
Right. Maybe we better take a look at that.
Yeah. Unless you want to make it like a Supreme Court, where on there for life.
Okay.
So, but they'll be appointed in a term to be determined. That's fine.
Yeah. We
can, yeah. Okay.
Let's just see. I'll take a look and see sort of whether there were existing terms already. Maybe there weren't. You know.
Okay.
I don't consider a problem here. Usually, that's what it is.
All right. Well, last under the new business is the DPW employment posting. Robert, you want to chime in on this with Tony?
Well, Tony's going to be retiring at the end of March. So we're looking at, we'll be looking to replace him, at least getting it out there and interviewing persons for the position. So, you know, we'll be looking for someone with some experience in heavy and highway and an operator that can operate the backhoe or the dump truck or has some experience maintaining equipment and things. So so that's where we are right now. I mean, I just got his paperwork, just came yesterday. So so the first thing is, and it's coming up very quickly, so initially we want to get out and get it posted so we can start taking some applications.
Now, I know that Tony has the supervisor position over there. Is there a plan to move Jay into that, or is this a plan to replace the supervisor? Do we know?
Well, we haven't really talked about that, but I think, I mean, you know, Jay has got all the water certifications. So, and, you know, and he's been here a long time, so, I mean, he knows the routine. So, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to moving him up and filling in behind. That would kind of make the most sense.
And it might be easier to find somebody.
But I haven't spoken with Jay to see, I mean, some people, you know, they don't want to be the boss. You know, so before we do that, we'd need to talk to him and make sure that, you know, that is something. But like I say, this just came up yesterday, so, you know, but we did want to mention it so that we could at least get you know, an application out there or a notice that we are looking for someone.
His last day is, was it,
well,
first
it,
of March,
it's,
last
it's
of March?
Said, yeah, it's weird. I mean, he's supposedly retiring on the 31st. It says he can't, the letter said he couldn't work after the 30th. But then he has built up vacation time, which he wants to use at the end of his term. So,
right,
so theoretically, he could just work 1 week in March, and that'd be the end of it.
Okay.
But he'd like to work till the end and then just get paid for his vacation time. He wants to stay till the end of March.
Right. But his retirement won't be till the end of March, but but he'll stop working.
No, that's not what she said.
No, he wants to work to the end. He wants to be paid for his vacation.
He wants.
Oh, okay.
He wants to retire in March.
That wasn't what I read in the letter.
No,
so,
that's what he.
Okay.
The email said.
That's actually better for us because it gives us.
But
a little
if he
bit
retires, I think if he retires, I don't know. Maybe that's something you can check with retirement. But I don't think
he can get a payout.
He can retire, but he can't
get a payout for a vacation because it's.
Yeah,
without
we can't
without
we
the,
do
without them giving us a hard time about it.
It's approved.
Can we check that just to make sure?
We can, but I don't think. Yeah,
I'll check it. But
we'll check.
I don't think
there's a problem with it. It's approved time.
Okay. Did you want to set anything up? You know, to meet with these guys to as far as generating.
Well, I think we need to talk about
job description.
We're gonna have to post it or you know get the word out and. And then I think we should accept resumes. And then once we look at the resumes, we can set up an interview on an individual basis.
Okay. All right. Okay. We come to the session for any additional public comments. Mr. Warner.
Yes, on that a plug they got for the light. Niagara Mohawk set that up, didn't they?
DOT.
Excuse me?
DOT. State DOT.
Did they have a, so that when they plug that generator, they can't backfeed into the wires if somebody gets hurt?
No.
Like you would in your house, you kick your breaker, so you could, and you run your panel board with your generator, when the power, when you see the power come back on, you shut your generator off, kick your breaker back on, so the generator ain't putting juice back out in the road.
No. This is something that they've done at many traffic signals throughout the state, so there's none of that is an issue.
Because if an electrician goes along and thinks the thing is dead, the wire is dead, meanwhile it's getting back fed through this generator.
An electrician?
Am I?
No. An electrician? You just said an electrician's going to come to see this?
A lineman. We're doing the work on the line, repairing the line.
Right.
That could backfeed that line and electrocute. Because you got juice coming from that generator.
It goes to that traffic
signal.
It could
go back out into it, yes.
It goes to the traffic signal.
I mean, I don't know if they set it up a certain way where that can't happen.
Could be a switch.
It's something we ought to make sure that it can't happen.
I can make sure that I can ask about it. Yeah, I am not an electrician, so I don't know.
We just got one lawsuit, though. We don't need another one.
Well, I don't really think this is going to lead to any lawsuits. I mean, this is something that many municipalities do. DOT put the plug in. They approved it. It was their work. I don't think that they would set us up like that. I don't think.
I'm saying not purposely, but we got to check it and make sure it's safe that way for us.
Yeah.
Whether we have to get an electrician to look at it or so. Because I don't know how they could do it, to be honest with you.
They have, I mean, I did the one for the ambulance building. And there's a switch that accepts the plug. And when you lose power from the mains, it throws a breaker. And then the power from the generator is allowed to pass through and feed the building. When the switch sees the power return to the main, it throws the breaker back and isolates the generator. And then after a certain period of time, a couple of minutes, the generator shuts off and power continues to flow through. I would expect, although the guy said he checked on it, but I would expect this is set up in the same manner because this is the standard today for that kind of stuff. It's not like it used to be where you just put a plug on the box and you went down and manually turned the thing off and plugged it in, and then you unplug it and then turn the switch back on. So these are, they're pretty automated today. So, but we'll ensure that is done correctly.
Anyone else? Mr. Eric.
This is a question for Dave on the lawsuit that was just settled. Is there any possibility that Rensselaer County could initiate a civil lawsuit against the village for the Medicaid money that has been paid out?
No, that was one of the elements. When you have sort of a major personal injury case like this with a fairly substantial amount of money going from one party to the plaintiff, part of the negotiations is that Medicaid has a third-party claim against that money that's coming in. So Rensselaer County Medicaid got a piece of that settlement. I don't know what the piece was, but that was part of the deal. But no, we have no liability to Rensselaer County whatsoever. We have no exposure. She had some exposure, the plaintiff did, but that was all part of the package that got worked out. Yeah.
Anyone else? Okay, moving on to the resolutions. The first resolution is the mayor to sign a 2015 Stop DWI Enforcement Agreements.
Make the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Next resolution is the election notice. The Village of Nassau, pursuant to Section 15-118.3, election law will not have a village registration day. Anyone wishing to vote in the March 18 2015 general election must be registered with the County Board of Elections by March 7th, 2015. The polling will take place at the Village Hall, 40 Malden Street, Nassau, New York, between the hours of 12 p.m. to 9 p.m. Someone like to?
I'll make the motion.
I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed. The next resolution is to appoint Joanne Hart and Lorraine Dresmala as the 2015 election inspectors.
Make the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next resolution is to issue $100 petty cash to the village clerk. The clerk will need to reconcile petty cash at the end of the 2014-2015 fiscal year.
Make the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next resolution, issue $50 petty cash to the court clerk. Court clerk will need to reconcile petty cash at the end of 2014-2015 fiscal year.
Make the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The next resolution is November's bills, number 14-046. Trustee Clark made a motion, seconded by Mayor Collins, unanimously carried to approve bills number 212 through number 245 in the amount of $52,824.48 in the general fund and $1,699.25 in the water fund.
Can we just...
That was approved already, what it says.
Yeah.
Why is it under a resolution?
So that was all set. That was the email resolution. So
oh, right, yes,
to
yes,
the
okay.
Board resolution on it.
Okay.
And a formal meeting.
We don't need to vote on it again, right?
That was a question for you guys. I don't know.
In other words, we didn't have a meeting, so you wanted to pay the bill, so you did it sort of by email.
And yeah. Correct.
Confirm it. Why don't you just let someone make a motion confirming
that?
Make
a
motion. We
confirm
the resolution for November bills.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next on the agenda is audit the bills. Bills number 247 through number 292 in the amount of $26,032.25 in the general fund and $4,228.99 in the water fund.
Make the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Being that there's no further business, make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.